Sit back, folks. Relax. Get your favorite libation, your favorite snack. Geocaching podcast is coming at you right about now.
You want to know how to find it. Seek it out when they hide it. You know it's in the bag when it's an easy grab. But come on, take a chance now. So go, 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 geocache, geocache. And if you need help, we're right there in a flash. If you got a question, just call in and ask. Uncover the stash on the Geocaching Podcast. The Geocaching Podcast.
Welcome to the Geocaching Podcast, episode 489, recorded live on March 15th, 2017. I'm your host, Head Hard Hat with
Scott Burks,
Taz 427, and
Info Ferret.
You can join our chat room and watch our live video stream, plus participate with us as we record this episode. All this and more can be found at www.geocachingpodcast.com/live. Be sure to contact us via our voicemail line at 630-31-VOICE. And also find us on Twitter at geocachingpodcast.com/Twitter and Facebook at geocachingpodcast.com/Facebook. This episode is sponsored by the good patrons of the Geocaching Podcast. To become a contributing patron, simply click on our PayPal or Patreon logo on our webpage to help keep our podcast going. From all of us at the Geocaching Podcast, we thank you. Well, folks, I don't know any other way of putting this, but at least here, I know in the Northeast and in the East Coast here, it's cold as a mofo. I don't know any other way of putting it. It is cold. I kid you not. I went out today, help working. I had work gloves on. I actually had, for the first time in 20, 30 years easy, frostbite. Nice. In Raleigh, North Carolina,
Like you're 9 years old.
Yeah, it was, I wish it was that, but yeah. literally had work gloves on. They were the heavy duty ones, but they were wet because I was already working out with some other stuff. Mm-hmm. Went outside for about 20-25 minutes to help some people out. And by the time I got back, the bottom parts of my fingers from here down were white, and the tops of my fingers were blood red. Mm. I have never had that since forever, and I lived in Michigan.
Yeah,
never had it down here, so I had to go out and gently warm my fingers in warm water and put it under the air vent to heat it up.
Blood flowing. Well,
it's not fun. It's not as bad as I've seen it. I've seen other people with frostbite that, you know, well, you're going to lose that thing, you know, kind of thing. But I'm in North Carolina with frostbite.
Wow. Well, I'm going to make you jealous here. We broke 80 this past week. So, and my pool water temp is up to 72 degrees.
Oh, my God.
Not quite enough to go swimming yet.
Didn't you have an earthquake or something? Disastrous plague.
72 is a little too polar bear for me.
72
in Michigan. Now it's bathwater.
What's that in sensible temperatures?
We don't have sensible in Michigan. Michigan, you get 3 weeks of slush to get through. So if you're going to do swimming, it's going to be cold, like 68, 66 degrees.
Yeah, I want to say it's about 19 in Celsius. Lake Michigan, like INC.
That's like Lake Michigan in like August.
Yeah. Yeah, because like you go to Superior and you keep your beer cold. I mean, that's how it is.
See what happens when you go to Texas and California? You come out worse.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah, as well.
Oh, wow. So yeah, it's been interesting. The weather's been in the dumper here, and it's going to stay this way apparently for a while. I feel for the people in the Northeast.
Yeah.
4 feet of snow. I mean, that's enough.
Yeah. One of my caching friends out here is going this weekend. He's going to the East Coast to go hit the East Coast states. I'm like, oh, dude.
Bring the shovel.
Pick the wrong weekend to go.
Snowshoe and shovel.
I can't get a hold of Delta Airlines. They changed my flights. Basically, they canceled the early morning flight that I had planned on going out to Geo Woodstock on.
Yeah.
And it's like I was planning on arriving there about 2 p.m, and now they got me arriving at 8:30 in the evening. It's like, yeah, this isn't going to work, folks. You're going to have to refund me my money, and I'll book elsewhere.
Yeah,
but I can't get through because of the nor'easter.
Yep, all the canceled flights, all the stuff. That's going to be a mess for a week.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Totally.
So, yeah. So otherwise, no major geocaching.
You know. Yeah, here it's funny because, you know, last night I was outside with Jessie and she's bitching about it. And I'm like, you know, it's March, right? March. It's supposed to be 20 degrees outside. It's March.
Yes.
Like, no. I'm like, yeah, it's March. Just because you got spoiled in February with, you know, 60 degrees. No. It's supposed to be this cold.
Well, so, I definitely got spoiled in Texas because February, I'd be hitting 70s and 80s.
That's because everything's February. On fire. So
out here it's February's too cold for me.
Wow.
February's too cold. Nice. Yeah, it's one of those, like, I mean, I didn't get out in cache because it's just been cold here. It's supposed to warm up next week.
Yeah,
but I did go to some events though, so I did keep the smileys moving.
That's cool.
I was going to say, am I the only one that's found a box this week?
Pretty much
a box, yeah. But oh, I got some smileys. I did do that. So
how'd you do, Sarah?
Didn't get that much. It was very wet over the weekend. We had somewhere between 2 and 3 inches of rain. Fortunately, I'm at the top of a hill, so it all drains away. But Auckland really got a drowning. But I didn't get out much of the weekend. I did manage to get to an event hosted by two French tourists passing through Wellington. So they thought, oh, we'll stop and have an event. Great. And it was really fun, but I discovered just how rusty my French has got. I really need to do some more. But last night I did, the lad was offered swimming. And so I decided I've got to go and find some caches. And I found 3 in just over an hour, including what must be the ultimate lamppost cache.
Oh, really?
Yeah. What? Base of a lamppost on a walkway. Wasn't the terrain one, because you're up a few steps, so there's no way you have a wheelchair, and it's sort of walkway between two streets in a suburb around just north of Wellington. Base of a lamppost, bit of bushes around, but the ammo can.
Ah!
Full of swag, full of brilliant one.
So nice.
That's my ultimate LPC.
That's nice. We'll have to tell you when we have time sometime. The ultimate lamppost that I did was from W.V. Tim in West Virginia. I'll have to show you a picture of that one. It was a lamppost, gosh, all right. I'll leave you hanging. I'll show you some other time about it.
Don't tell me it was a fake lamppost.
Oh, no, real. You were really there, but it was not the way you think it would be. So, yeah, good stuff. All right.
My favorite lamppost cache was out in the middle of the woods. So
just had a lamppost out in the middle of the woods. I've had some of those.
Yeah, I've had that before.
This was quite literally nailed up in a tree, and it looked like a lamp in there, and it looked like it had the electrical conduit and stuff coming down, and it was a lockbox, electrical lockbox at the bottom. You had to have that combination code, which was surprisingly 314. and open it up and you have a wheel there and you unwind it and actually what looks like the light up in the lamp comes down.
Oh, neat.
Nice.
That was pretty cool.
We'll have to ask.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say we have to ask Sonny from Podcaster what his favorite lamppost is.
No, because I once had one. I literally had one where somebody took the skirt off a lamppost and literally put it around a tree in the middle of the woods. Literally, and then, like, you know, like they screwed it back together, you know,
yeah,
like they screwed it, so it literally had to lift the skirt.
We are a creative bunch, genius. I tell you. Yeah. It's awesome.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, moving on.
It was called, like, lamppost skirt in the woods, I think it was called, or lamppost LPC in the woods or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. The one that I did see was literally about a half mile in the middle of, like, woods. And it was just a lamppost there. I don't know if the electrical
really, like
was hooked
one?
Up. Yeah,
a
real one. Completely just smack in the middle of the woods. It's like, that's weird. All right. So yeah,
like something out of the Chronicles of Narnia.
Yeah, it really does. It really does. All right, let's move on. We got the podcast roundup, letting our viewers know what's going on in the geocaching podcasting community. What's coming up this week on Geo Gearheads is episode 272, Geocaching App 2, where we get an update from Rock Chalk and Ben, as in Benjamin. I'm terrible with these things. Of Geocaching
Ben and
HQ.
Jamie?
Ben and Jamie.
There we go. See, I'm terrible with license plates, too. It's a whole different thing.
I misspelled Ben and Jerry.
I was thinking Ben and Jerry.
Like Ben and Jerry, but not.
But not. Close, but not. Of Geocaching HQ, yes, both on the same show, about the Geocaching Android and iOS app. So, all right. There we go. We ask if you please consider becoming a patron of our show. If you go to geocachingpodcast.com/live and click on either our Patreon or our PayPal logos, and if you can throw a couple bucks at us each month, we would greatly appreciate it. Helps pay for the expenses of doing a geocaching podcast, and every little bit helps, and we appreciate for the people that do. And if you haven't, why not? Go ahead and join and be a collective influence of the Geocaching Podcast by throwing us some money. We love you. Thank you. We're begging. I'm just saying. Mm-hmm. So thanks so much. Let's see. Lots of stuff tonight. Mr. Scott, I still don't have anything for the mailbag. I'm going to have to come up with something probably by the time you come back from summer.
My hiatus.
Your hiatus.
All right. We got the mailbag, though.
We got the mailbag.
It's the gcpcmailbag@gmail.com. Here we go. This is from J.D. Kint, who I see in the chat room all the time. It says, "Hey, guys, I've been a listener for a while now and also contribute to the Patreon because I love the show." Thank you, J.D. Kint.
Thank you.
Andy, apparently, you know.
Somebody does listen. I love it.
Begging works.
We love it.
I was wondering how you guys find the time to get caching in. I started in 2008. That's when I started. And find myself into being into it for a week and then off for a quarter. One of the best things I use the game for is finding new places when I visit a new town. I first visited my brother at his new house in Fort Lauderdale in 2010, and one of the ways I learned how to get around down there is through geocaching. Needless to say, it helped me find cool new areas. Up until recently, I've only made about 325 finds. Now that my kids are older, I am making a push for 500 by year's end and 1,000 by the end of 2018. Any tips you can give me to hit my milestones? Thanks. J.D. Kint.
Awesome. Thanks for writing in, and thanks for watching the show. You know, for all of us, if you can see right now, we've kind of been in a bit of a lull for the past month or so, where we just have not had the time to go out and do geocaching
because
life gets in the way. And, you know, for some people, it's like me with new jobs coming up and jobs that I'm working and totally throws the schedule off. But I will tell you this, when you do start a new job, or for like Scott, when he moves to a new area, things like that, that is a perfect time to start going geocaching. When lunchtime geocaches are great because you got usually a whole bunch of them just within a couple of miles for you to go and find out. And that's where you find all the stuff that's in the neighborhood, which is awesome.
That was my advice, is if you want to start, like, just if you want to hit those numbers, obviously you have to keep moving forward. That's the key. And one of the ways to do that is simple, easy smileys. Events are easy smileys.
Yep.
You know, just go dine and dash. Just go and sign and go. You know, it's simple. You don't have to. I don't recommend it. You should sit and talk to people. But if you have to, you have to. Another way to do it is just like you said, at work, at lunch, eat at your desk.
Yep.
You know, while you work, and then take that lunch period and go find one or two.
Yeah.
At least one. And just slowly work your way the perimeter of your work, you know. And just work your way out, you know, and just if you get one, you know, every day, those numbers add up.
Yeah, and you'll be surprised all the places it's like, oh, that's where this store is or that store is or what have you.
Do a streak, you know, like start streaking. You know, that's one way to up your numbers, you know, because you're determined to get out, you know.
Yeah, and also when you go to events, you know, look what's around those events and try to hit a few of those around those events, especially if you've got some with favorite points are there, or if you can do a puzzle or two in the area. And ask if people are going out on a weekend geocaching, you know, adventures and stuff, and try to team up with other people in your area.
Yep.
And the thing I do is if I'm going somewhere a little out of town, it's sort of almost instinctive. Oh, we're going to that. Right. Is there anything in that immediate area I haven't found?
Yep.
And even if you only pick up one or two, it's still one or two more to the your tally. And probably the most important thing is don't stress about it. Have fun and enjoy it.
Yep.
And if you don't find one that day, it's not the end of the world.
That's right.
Although it might be for a friend of mine who's got a streak of over 1,000 days.
Yeah, so there's some goals.
But for most of us, it doesn't. The world will not end if there is not a smiley on that day.
Yep. No, of course not.
Nope.
No,
yeah. Not at all.
No, but if you're trying to hit, that milestone, this is how you. These are different ways you can actually try to hit.
Speaking of which, Scott, did you end up breaking, or are you still going on your first define for the month?
There, dude. I'm still there.
All right, because you got to be close.
98.
All right.
I'm going to break it, I think, while I'm away. I'm going to break it in May. So I will break it when I'm away.
Wow.
Isn't that a shame?
Well, we'll need an update.
Okay. I'll come on the show to tell you.
Yeah, we'll need an update.
You can just gloat afterwards.
All right.
Well, even if I'm going to be off the show for a couple months, and again, remind listeners, I will be off the show starting April. From April to July, I'll be off the show for the move and for baseball and whatnot. So I'll pop on when I can. Assume I'm not. And if I am, it's a happy surprise. I won't have internet for a while, and I'm moving in the whole nightmare and baseball. And
wow.
Remember, baseball always winds up on Wednesday nights, kind of a thing. So I'll pop on. And I'll, obviously some of the emails I'll add to the show notes and tell you what I've been up to.
Oh, yeah. Good stuff. All right. Some kind of sad news. Actually, sad news. And Taz, I'm going to let you, matter of fact, let me do the plug in here, and then I will let you start, and then we'll go from there. So here we go.
The news. In the news. So we got some info from Joshua, the geocaching vlogger. And this is a quote from Joshua, but we feel the same way here on the Geocaching Podcast. So it is with saddened hearts and tears that we acknowledge the passing of fellow geocacher Michael. All of our prayers go to the Costello family, and we are spreading the news about Geocaching for Michael Day this March 19th. Warm regards from the Geocaching Podcast and Geo Snippets Reboot Podcast.
Yep.
So Michael, for those who aren't aware, Michael was born with congenital heart defect and had a heart transplant and was using geocaching for a form of therapy. And he met the geocaching blogger, Joshua, at a couple of different events. And, they became friends and stuff. But unfortunately, he passed away this past week, and it's a sad day.
Fellow geocacher,
go out this Sunday and celebrate Geocaching for Michael Day.
Yep, I actually have Joshua's thing here. I think I'm going to play this. It's only 2 minutes, but it gives you all the information you need to know for that. So we're going to have Joshua go from here.
Hey guys, it is Joshua, the geocaching vlogger, and I hope you're doing well. I just wanted to call in to share a little story about a young man that I met a couple years ago. His name was Michael Costello. I met him, and he shared with me that he watched my videos, which was really cool. Then he also shared with me that he was born with half a heart, and he had heart surgery. He had a heart replacement, and it was geocaching that was his therapy that got his heart stronger and got his muscles stronger. I was so inspired by him that the next year we hung out a little bit at the next Geo Woodstock. Well, I just found out this last week that Michael passed away this last Saturday. And I put up a video just expressing my thoughts and feelings to the family as just encouragement. And I got a message from somebody on Facebook, and they told me, wouldn't it be cool if we had a day called, Geocaching for Michael Day. And I thought that'd be a great idea. I thought maybe on his birthday. Well, then I found out his birthday is actually this Sunday, March 19th. So the reason I'm calling is that I am sort of officially declaring that this Sunday, March 19th, 2017, is Geocache for Michael Day. And what I'd love to see to encourage the family and to honor Michael's memory is that people get out there and go geocaching that Sunday, March 19th. And if they're so inclined, shoot a video take a picture. If they shoot a video, upload it to YouTube and send it to me at geocachingvlogger@gmail.com. They can just send me the link. And I'm going to put a compilation video together to encourage the family. Michael was such an inspiration and quite a fighter himself. And I think it would be awesome that the geocaching family uplifts this family in this difficult time. So feel free to spread the word that this Sunday is Geocache for Michael Day. And I hope you participate as well. It'd be awesome. Thanks, guys. Hope you're doing well. Talk to you later. Bye.
Well, thank you, Joshua. And yeah, if you didn't know, Michael was 14 when he passed. Apparently he would have been 15 this Sunday. So always sad when you hear things like that. All right, so be sure you check it out, and we're going to have a link in our show notes to Joshua, the geocaching vlogger's website and YouTube, and that way you can send to, and he's been using the hashtag geocaching the number 4 and Michael as well, so keep that in mind. And if you got any questions, if you're not sure about something, by all means, contact me at headharthat@gmail.com, and I'll give you whatever information you need for that. Now, moving on, other things. Another geocacher has passed away in Australia.
Yeah, I picked this up on a group. I don't know his name. There's an article in the Adelaide Advertiser of a man who died after plunging 20 metres down a ravine at Hallett Cove while he was geocaching. He was 66 and was geocaching with his wife when it appeared he slipped and fell at least 20 meters into the water below. So somebody else said they knew that the area could be slippy, but that's basically all I know. So,
right. I think the main thing. Yeah. I think the main thing to pull from a lot of this, because we hear periodically, and we reported on the podcast as well, when geocachers have these kind of accidents and unfortunately fatalities sometimes, be careful when you're out there. It sounds as simple as, well, it's just common sense, but when you slip, you don't realize it. And I'm sure all of us have had some form or another where we have landed on our backs or worse.
Oh, I should be dead.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's terrible, and you don't expect it, but please try to use as much common sense as you can when you're out there. You know, in North Carolina, we were talking about this before the show, pine straw is everywhere. And when you've got pine straw, a hill, and rain, or recent rain where it's moist, you got to slip and slide. So there's been more than one time where I've been going down the side of a steep hill and suddenly falling myself on my tuchus and away I go. So you just got to be careful. I mean, I've had one where winter day, we're out walking on concrete next to a abandoned part of a mall that had closed down, and I hit a slippery spot, and suddenly the back of my – I could feel my leg in the back of my neck when I slipped, which is not the way it's supposed to be. So, you know, things like that, you got to be careful, and you never know. And the weird thing is, in a lot of these cases, at least with mine too, the GPS or the smartphone goes one way, the car keys go the other way, and you're laying on your back immobilized, and you don't even realize it when it happens. So please, please, please be careful out there, because we hear about this stuff. There's millions of geocachers all around the world, and things are going to happen, and they do. But just please be careful when you're out geocaching.
I saw it was archived.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Geocache, right?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, they actually had a problem with that particular geocache in Australia, where the same couple actually, a while before that, actually slipped and fell at the same spot, only they didn't tumble down or whatever. They just landed on their backs and that. But, yeah, that's just a treacherous area that when it's wet, it's like that. And
or even some types of grass when it's hot and when it's dry,
yeah.
it can be they can be very, very slippy.
Yeah, so please be careful out there.
Yeah. One thing I found as part of this is there is actually a public bookmark of the next link, which is a record of those known to have died whilst out geocaching.
Right.
And we don't really want to add, you know, please don't need to be somebody who has to be added to that.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
But I've got something on a much happier note.
I like happy. I need happy right about now.
A little bit crazy, a little bit different. There's an event coming up in May in Wellington that's not geocaching. It's not orienteering, but it uses those sorts of skills. It's called the City Safari. And you get together in teams of two or four, and you pay your entry fee. And that includes an all-day bus and train pass. And just for that one day, you've got either 3 hours or 6 hours, depending on how you enter the event. Mm-hmm. And you go and find lots and lots. There's lots of points to get to. Think of it like a power trail. And some of them are nice and easy, and you'll get 10 points for them. And some of them are a lot harder. You can get 80 or 90 points for them. And you use the public transport and your own two legs to work out how many points can you get in the time and get back to the finish.
Ah.
And this Sunday's team, on the 14th of May is when the event is, it's a spy team with top secret spy briefcases located all over the city with a secret code. You then have to text in to say you've got to the find.
The
family
cool.
will be doing it.
That sounds
But I'm
like
not
fun.
Sure.
Yeah,
I'm
that
trying
sounds
to decide
like fun.
Whether I go and try and find some other caches to do it as a walking team.
Right.
Because there's no way in heaven or earth I'm running.
Wow, that's cool. Run. I love when they do stuff like that. That's awesome stuff.
I thought it could be something cool that if somebody's thinking of planning a mega or something like that, they could.
Well,
like,
you know, but
see
just,
if they could.
Just by chance, so I'll do a plug for open caching. Or going caching, I should say, that's going to be in Rome, Georgia this year. The theme for this year is spies. So we'll have in our own version of it when we go down there.
Wonder if any of the caches will be hidden in microwaves.
You never know. You never know. All right, let's move on to the Geocaching Podcast, episode 489. It is our March 2017 Cacher Coffee. And if you know what goes on, is we usually fill up on our favorite beverages and talk about just different things that have been going on in the geocaching world. And we've already hit a bunch of different subjects, but I know this is near and dear to Chad's heart. This is something that he's just waiting for, and he's probably going to be exiting out or accidentally popping off. But the ape cache vote has come back, and I'll even let Chad have the honors on this one.
Okay.
Make him read.
Make him do it.
Make him read it. Okay. The ape cache vote. Happy Friday, everyone. Just moments ago, Geocaching Headquarters announced via the Geocaching blog and our social channels that the community has voted to return and reactivate the Mission 9 Tunnel of Light 8 cache.
Woohoo!
Yay!
So we will reactivate the 8 cache on August 19, 2017, the date of the Going Ape 2017 mega event at Washington's Iron Horse State Park. Here are the results for more than 10,000 votes. 61% for return and reactivate, 17% for activate once a year, 13% for display at geocaching headquarters, 9% for traveling artifact.
Yep.
So I guess my, 1,300 votes there to display at the headquarters, that wasn't
didn't
enough.
Worked out. Nope,
that
sorry.
Wasn't enough, no.
How many fake accounts did you create?
It wasn't even close.
No,
I wasn't close.
Yeah.
No.
I'm sorry, Chad. You're the only one that went, you know, to one of the few rare individuals that actually went to Brazil to keep their thing. So the rest of us took it.
But well done. We applaud it.
We do. We do. We applaud. Yeah. We applaud. We applaud.
Thank you.
I'm just going to go to Washington to get mine. That's okay.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah.
perfectly fine.
I probably still have to travel. I've probably still got to travel further than you. Will.
Sarah still has to fly. So I think Brazil might be anyway. Brazil might be quicker and closer to you.
So I'll just refer to you as the ape light icon.
Ouch!
But do I get the icon on my page?
Yes.
Sure.
Yeah, that's all I care about. That's it. You want.
Just don't call me late for dinner.
Whatever you want.
All righty. So yeah, that's excellent. Great news for most of us.
I mean, me and Jesse, like that's become like top priority travel wise.
Yes.
Don't go hit that triad.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I don't know what I'm thinking. Like fall of 18. Literally, that's like the next time I. Like,
I'm thinking about it. I really am.
Fall of 17. Fall of 18.
Yes. Well, you got enough stuff going on this year.
I know. I got so much stuff going on. I mean, between the move and I got Toby's Bar Mitzvah coming up in January. I can't just spend, frugal amounts of money just to go hunt for an icon. Lord knows I would if I could. Trust me.
Yeah. All right. So, once again, Scott's taking the cheap way out, but that's all right.
Now I'm terrified that it's going to, like, see, this is my fear. And this is the a-hole that lives inside me. Is it like, now that it's back, it's going to be put back, and everybody knows it's back, somebody's going to be like, let's go get it.
That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go there on August 20th. I'm going to take it. I'm not throwing it over the edge. You won't find that thing.
What's that sound? Thug, 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 thug.
Oh, there it is. Look at that. What I got in my room.
And the kicker is he'll do a selfie as he did it. So
yeah, it's mine, bitches. And
oh.
Viva la Brazil.
Yeah, they're... A little Brazilian flag there.
You and your Brazilian.
I'm just saying. Right. Anyways, okay, moving on. Another thing from Down Under. This came in from Terry. I'm just going to leave it there. Terry 209 sent this in. Found a great story that made me think of InfoFerret of New Zealand. Smart keybirds along the Milford Song Highway at the Homer Tunnel in New Zealand. And we'll have a link in here. There's actually a geocache nearby. And the geocache is Kia Concrete. And it's GC4Z21M. And again, we'll have the links to this in the show notes. These little darling birds that come out have been known for basically just taking away everything they can when it comes to getting invading pack packs, getting
car windscreen wipers, trims off your vehicle.
Yeah.
They're really fun, cute, big parrot, mountain parrot.
Yeah.
You find them most of the high country in New Zealand, especially down.
I'll see if I can bring it up on the screen here so you can see a picture.
If you bring up the Kia Concrete thing, I've just had a quick look at that cache.
Yeah.
That's got some photos of them getting into mischief. But they're fun to watch. I'm sure they're on tourist posing duty, and I can entirely believe that story that they've moved road cones to stop traffic so people might feed them.
Think
videos of it on here where they're actually moving the road cones.
It's yes,
like, that's amazing.
Yeah, think of the monkeys in India, where they just have their way of going through and terrorizing because they're protected. You don't dare hurt them, and they just take and ravage everything. And apparently, these birds are right up there as well. And beautiful bird.
No, they won't attack you. Well, they don't attack you, so they're not. But they're very intelligent, and they'll scrounge for food. But please don't feed them, because human food is not what they need at all.
Yeah.
But they're ironically, as I was saying before the show, the scouts, and the younger version of scouts is cubs.
Right.
And in New Zealand, at least, and I'm sure other places in the world, there's a younger group of kids before that, sort of 6 and a half to about 8-ish, where they're too young for cubs. And in New Zealand, the name for those that group of kids is Kias. because they're little and they're noisy and they get into mischief.
Yeah, so that's cool stuff. So thank you to Terry209 from sending that in. That was cute. So it's just amazing all the different things that that people get into with. It's just amazing. I can't believe it.
I was going to say Milford is an absolutely amazing part of the world.
Oh yeah, yeah. Birds are like natural escape artists too. Mm-hmm. Would you have a certain, especially the ones in the parrot biz, that they will unlock their cages and do all sorts of crazy things to get out. So yeah, they're smart.
Yeah,
because it's also what the pika. Or the minor bird, is it, that just loves shiny and will make little nests and they'll pick up little trinkets of stuff that they find in for that.
Magpies can be like that.
Magpies,
as well.
That's what I was thinking of, magpies. So,
I'm not sure if New Zealand magpies do the same. The British magpies, definitely.
Yeah.
They're totally different species. And, you know, the early settlers saw a bird that was black and white, so they decided to call it a magpie.
Yeah.
Because it reminded them of home.
You know what else likes shiny things?
Besides parrots, yeah.
Ferrets.
Yeah. Oh, ferrets.
Ferrets.
And how heavily are you in the ferret world, sir?
I used to have a couple of ferrets, actually, and they would anything shiny, they would they're little thieves. You know, they would grab anything shiny and they take it and they get their little hidey hole. You know, behind a dresser or whatever, and they would hide it, and you know you could do some spring cleaning a year later, and you got this big pile of that's where that went. You know,
you don't have any Yorkshire ancestry, do you?
Me, no.
Like the pudding.
Yeah, well, Yorkshire's a region of northern England. There's quite a few people that keep and breed ferrets around there. And apparently one sport is ferret racing, where you put a ferret up one trouser leg and see how fast it comes down the next one.
No. Like to nibble on very soft parts of one's body. So no, you do not want a ferret going up your pant leg.
There's
sorry.
A chestnut there especially that you want to keep.
Especially not when wearing cricket whites.
Yeah.
Which, what the hell's that cricket white?
The uniform you wear when playing cricket.
Yeah, Scott, come on.
Nobody plays cricket.
Look, baseball's basically rounders. You guys, anybody standing here we there go. In lycra, just
here we
pajamas,
go.
Just looks crazy.
You know, if I want to beat a ball with a paddle, I play ping pong.
Look,
that sport.
Cricket's good to sit and drink something and watch on a nice hot day.
Okay.
That's why we have television.
No, for three nice hot days in a row.
Oh, no, it can go up to 5 days if it's rumored.
Okay. Oh, so it's like baseball.
For a full test. No, you don't have the cheerleaders.
Baseball doesn't have cheerleaders.
I've been...
Well, whatever it is.
Football has cheerleaders here. The real football. The oblong one.
Oh, the wussy game.
Oh, here we go.
Wow.
See how quickly it turns?
Of course it does.
You know?
Yeah.
Wow. And the nice thing is...
We sent one of our rugby rejects over to you to play basketball.
Oh, jeez. Wow.
You've got Stephen Adams.
I am very impressed with Sarah because she knows how to hold her own, especially when it comes to sports. Oh,
yeah. So. Look, I work with a bunch of IT geeks. I've learned.
He likes cricket, for Christ's sake.
I know. Take a paddle. Take a paddle and give the ball a paddling and then run or something. And then there's a stick. I don't understand. So, just saying.
There's only one thing a cricket paddle is good for, and it's not playing cricket.
Tough love. I love it.
Right. What, for flicking the bales?
If you could call it that.
I did?
Yes. My dad just called it a whippin'.
A whoopin'.
A whoopin'.
Mm-hmm.
Whippin' is if you use a stick. Go out and cut your whippin' stick.
Go get it off the tree. You got to go get your
own. Yeah, got to get your own. Oh, if it's too thin, you're deep doo-dooed and they'll cut one for you.
yeah.
Welcome to America. Whack!
Right.
Charles Houston family would have something to say about that.
Nowadays.
I grew up in the day of picking your own switch, and
yep.
And now I grow up in a day where I tell my son the stories of having to pick my own switch.
Yeah, yeah. Like, you know, it's interesting how it's
CPS
changed.
Will get you.
Yeah. See, down here, even Amy talked about, you know, the same thing. Go pick your own switch. Up in Scott's probably can acknowledge this too. We had the belt.
Yeah, we totally had the belt.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Yeah, that was like. Dad would come by and he'd flick that thing off, and it was like Darth Vader pulling out a lightsaber.
The jingle of the belt being on.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Wait till your dad gets home.
Oh, yeah. You know, the funny part, I don't think you ever actually. Well, I've been spanked when I was young, and okay, now we'll get into stuff. Sure. But I'm just saying. But I don't think he ever actually hit me with the belt, but just the sound of that.
I got whipped with the belt. Believe me.
I don't think I ever did. I think he threatened it.
Threatened it. He'd like, he'd wound it up like a bull whip. And
he'd be like, whack, whack.
Yeah.
You know, like that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was it. I'm like dying. I'm in the corner cringing. Mm-hmm. But you know what? I grew up a better person for it. I'm just saying.
No, my kids are terrified of me, and I love it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely terrified of me.
Yeah. So for all the people out there,
know that there's no. I won't make a threat unless I'm prepared to carry it out.
Oh no, my.
And I can hide the. Well, when they were growing up, the worst threat I could have is I would hide the game, the PlayStation remote controller.
Oh
I
yeah,
hide
yeah.
them in more
yeah.
places than they could find them.
No, we had the. If you were bright enough to do something wrong earlier in the day. We had to wait till your father gets home.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you could sit there and panic for a good 6 hours before dad comes home. And then when his car pulls up and you're trying to find any crevice or nook that you could get your butt into. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying.
Anyway, the best of what my mom would say, we won't tell your father about this.
Thanks, Mom.
Thank you.
But it made you think.
Oh, yeah, I know, but, like, she knew he'd kill me. So, yeah, we just won't tell you.
Yeah. It's different nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
They have laws.
Yeah. And what's funny is that, like, years, I'm totally off topic, but, like, years, you know, my mom's been dead 18 years now, and probably 10 years ago, me and my sister sat down. We were eating dinner with my dad, and we sat down. We all told him everything that mom didn't tell him we did.
Yeah.
So my dad's like, you were good kids. I'm like, no.
No, this is the stuff we did.
So me and my sister sat there and told him all the things we did. And he couldn't believe it. He's like, are you kidding? That's insane.
Yeah.
He's like, you were 14 and you drove to Wisconsin by yourself without a license? Are you kidding? You know,
like, so the ELOs were, or LEOs were common for you. Now we know.
Me and my sister did plenty of stuff too, but like we just laid it all on the table. Nothing
oh
new
my
about
god!
It. He just couldn't. He's like, I was much happier not knowing.
No, the other thing too was my mom. My mom had her self defense mechanism, and that was the brush.
Really?
Oh yeah. If she was mad enough, if you got her mad enough, then the brush came out, and it was like, oh god. And one of the things I did, I remember, it was a very dark day, was that my mom was going to hit me. I was probably, and I'm no lie, I'm like 16, 17 years old. I did something stupid. And she got the brush out, and she was about to thwack me, and I took the brush away. Oh, my God. I thought the hell would open up below me. I would just get sucked into the abyss, and I am dead. So, yes, that was the darkest day of taking the brush away from my mom before she could discipline me.
Talking of, you just brought back a story from my grandmother, who was growing up in the north of England in the this would have been 1919-ish. And when she was about 3, she swore. And her mom heard it. She heard her say, damn blast.
That's a what swear, doing, damn blast.
Well, for
look,
that age.
That point it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very strict Catholic household.
Damn blast.
But anyway, it's he got beating. Picked up by the scruff of the... well, worse, not a beating, but she got put in the coal, in the dark outhouse where all the coal was stored, and the door locked.
What is with that?
Oh, yeah.
She was about 3 or 4.
Yeah.
And so apparently, after about an hour, as my grandmother tells it, her mother thought, well, perhaps I've been a little bit...
Too much.
A little bit harsh here. She's only 3 or 4 or whatever it was. I better just check she's all right. And she opened the coal house door to find my grandmother sitting on top of a pile of coal, absolutely filthy, covered in coal dust from head to foot.
From playing?
Swinging her legs, going, damn blast, damn blast, damn blast.
So, see?
Look, I'm sorry. She raised me, so you see where a lot of it comes from.
Yeah, you know, Mark. I do a podcast with Mark from the now funked Obeep, Mark Dowding, who lives in England, and he always tells a story how when he was a kid, he had an outhouse in his backyard, his grandparents' backyard, that had coal in it. That's where they kept the coal.
Yep.
Like, what is that all about? Like,
yeah.
Oh yeah, that was your heat. That was possibly your fuel. It was definitely your heating.
But the outhouse?
That's the same thing.
Oh yeah,
the outhouse.
Yeah, the coal house.
He used to hate going to her house because they had one toilet inside and one toilet outside.
Yep.
And oh yeah.
The outside, he hated using the outside toilet.
Yeah. You
know, yep. I know exactly what he means.
Yeah.
Wow.
He's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. See, we actually had coal chutes in houses in the United States. So I'm just saying,
it's a foreign concept.
The coal house or the coal hole. Yeah.
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 Right. And people used to get it delivered to them.
Yeah. See, in the States, they had down in the basements in their cellars, and they would have an area blocked off strictly for that, and a truck would come by and literally drop coal down a chute into the storage area, and then you used it the other side, digging out the coal when you needed it. I remember that as a kid growing up.
Fellas.
The house that I lived in when I was in grade school, it was built in the late 1800s, and it still had the outhouse out back. We did have an indoor bathroom, but still had the outhouse out back, and still had the coal chute. The coal chute wasn't being used,
right?
Yeah. Except by kids sliding down it to see what happened. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was just guessing there.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Yeah, weird things back then. I mean, I remember a lot of the stuff, the Potbelly stoves and that for out in the garage.
Yeah.
Keeping those out. Kids these days, I don't think, would even have a clue about a lot of this stuff.
No. Well, my kids have seen one. They're like, what's that? I'm like, it's a stove.
Yeah.
Well, no, there's a few places that have got stoves as the main heating around here. But
yeah.
We had a heat pump put in about 5-6 years ago. And that meant the only time we light the fire is when we want to burn some bills. Because you don't want to just throw them in the trash.
Yeah.
It's amazing, huh? But then I show my kids a record player and they're like, wow, what's that?
Do you remember, now this is my grandparents' house that I always got a kick out of, was, did you ever see a milk chute? Basically what it is, by the back door, there was this little smaller door directly next to it. And you open up the one side, and the milk, when it's delivered, would be there. And then on the other side, the milkman would come in and drop off your milk stuff and leave it there. Mm-hmm. And I remember the milk trucks showing up. Oh, so that shows me.
I can vaguely remember
milkmen.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember... Yeah. They disappeared from sometime when I was in grade school.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, talk about a dead job, just gone.
Oh, yeah. I mean, come on. Who does that?
That's like TV repairman. That's another dead job.
Yeah. Yeah. Now that everything's disposable.
Like, my dad's friend was our TV repairman when I was growing up.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's just a dead job now. I mean, that doesn't exist
anymore. Yeah, it's amazing. It? Any of that stuff. I mean, your stereos.
People get stereos repaired? I mean, was a TV repairman. That was a job.
I mean, I suppose if you're top-end hi-fi and something goes, you'll get somebody to repair it. But the sort of couple of $100.
I mean, could you even find a record needle?
Go buy a new TV. That's what you do.
Yeah.
Mm. Right. You know, we're no longer in the days of vacuum tubes in our TVs and
stuff. So, did you have one of those when you were a kid? I had one.
I remember that.
Oh yeah, we had a Zenith, you know, in the big wood cabinet and stuff.
Oh yeah,
and
totally.
You basically when something went wrong, you pulled out all the vacuum tubes.
Yeah, and tried to balance it. Yeah.
How about
I remember.
How about a vacuum tube radio?
Store. Yeah, we would go to Hook's drugstore. I remember going to Hook's drugstores, and you'd plug each of the vacuum tubes in.
Yep.
And figure out which one was bad.
Yep. Yep.
And then when you get back home, it's like, okay, which one goes into which hole?
Yeah, we grew up. My dad had the big console radio, the one with the big green light in the front, the big dial inside, and you turned it on, and you heard it. Oh yeah, that's amazing.
Well, I remember I was about 5 or 6 when we first got a color telly.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
And we still had a black and white television into our first television we had when we got married was a black and white one. And it was, I could say, watching snooker or watching some rugby matches was a challenge because the red and the green were exactly the same tones. So you had to try and guess who was which.
Yeah, I remember the it had to have been maybe 13, 14 years old, and for a Christmas present, and I thought I was the king of the hill because I had my own black and white 19-inch TV. It was used. It was my uncle's, but I had it upstairs in my bedroom. And
one
that was
of those portable ones.
Yeah, the portable 19-inch ones. Yes, handle
built into the top.
Yes, and the rabbit ears that came out.
Yes,
and I remember staying up late catching things like Saturday Night Live and the Benny Hill Show and all the other stuff never got a chance. Benny Hill! I love Benny Hill.
I had a 10-inch black and white in my room when I was a kid. I must have been 10, Toby's age, 12 years
old. Yeah.
That's how, I didn't watch Doctor Who in color until.
Oh, God, that was seriously scary as a kid.
It was all black and white.
Yeah.
Because it was, even when it was in color, it was still black and white.
Yeah.
I didn't watch color Doctor Who until I was an adult.
Yeah.
You know, and I caught a replay or, it's like, I always watched it Sunday nights, 11 o'clock on my 10-inch.
Yeah. Now, Scott, you're from.
Doesn't it seem really weird when you watch. When something you knew really well and you watched in black and white, years later you're watching color.
Oh, Gilligan's Island.
I didn't realize that was pink.
I
always thought that was orange.
Look at all the shows that switched over, like Gilligan's Island, where the first couple of seasons were black and white and then they went color.
The Wizard of Oz.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I remember watching that many times as a kid in black and white, and then they colorized it. And watching it again, and it was a bit of a different experience.
Yeah.
I mean, it was. Yeah, but all those. I mean, Benny Hill and all that. That was all watched on a black and white TV.
Yeah.
All of it. Yeah.
Now, Scott, you're from Chicago, so you could appreciate this. Back in those days, you had three channels. You had, 2, 4, and 7. Did you pick up Windsor? Did you get 9?
Windsor, Canada.
Yeah.
No.
No. Okay. I was in Detroit.
We had ABC, NBC.
CBS.
NBC, CBS. ABC. Yeah, right. CBS, NBC, ABC.
Yep.
We had Fox, which was WFLD.
That was 20.
Channel 44, which was like, that showed all like the kung fu movies on Sunday.
That showed
Speed Racer.
Exactly.
On that channel. And that was it.
Yeah, we had channel. 26, we had channel 50.
26 was the Mexican channel. We had a Spanish station.
Yeah, we had channel 50.
Where was 44 at? Because I remember being able to pick that
Wasn't that Atlanta?
Do you remember that? Do you remember that channel?
Yes.
That's awesome.
Well, you were in Ohio back then, right?
No, he was in Indiana.
Oh, he's in Indiana.
I was in Indianapolis, so yeah.
Yeah.
You weren't that far. Yeah.
Yeah. So all the Chicago stuff, but yeah, we had 2, 4, and 7. We had 9, which was Windsor.
We had WGN.
Yeah.
WGN.
Yeah, and then I got later on we got like channel 20, which for us was Fox, and then channel 50 was Detroit. WKBD, I think it was. But it was interesting because I grew up with like the Uncle Bobby Show and some of the other ones from Canada. Bozo was a huge thing back then. Bozo the Clown.
Well, Bozo was Chicago.
Actually, Bozo, before it was Chicago, it was Detroit and then Windsor. And then he went to Chicago. And went that way because actually I remember back then, for the folks back then, was Mr. Houdini. and such was on his show.
On Bozo.
Yeah, that was with Sam, the
creepy ass guy. Yeah, I remember him. Yeah.
Do you remember Sir Graves Gasley from Channel 2? That was the horror movies on Saturdays after.
Well, that was the Son of Svengoolie was his horror movies when I was.
Yeah.
Did you guys get Captain Kangaroo?
Oh yeah, I live for it. Mr. Green Jeans,
with the bowl haircut.
Mr. Moose.
Yeah.
Bunny Rabbit.
Did any of you guys get the Magic Roundabout?
No, we did not have strange things like that. We stayed away from drugs.
Magic Roundabout.
We stayed away from drugs.
It was a show that was on about past 5:45, just before the news.
Yes.
In the 70s, like in sort of mid-70s when I watched it. Compulsive viewing. I don't know what they were on when they wrote it.
Yeah.
What the guys actually approved it for being shown was on. I mean, I showed the kids a couple of YouTube clips of episodes of it, and they just couldn't believe that there was such a show. But it was called The Magic Roundabout.
Yeah.
Once you're back off air, go and watch a couple of old. And it had things like Dylan, who was a rabbit that played the guitar, and was a cow called Ermintrude, and all sorts of, and Dougal the dog.
How we came out normal from all that programming, I have no idea.
Right. Yeah.
Because we had, Detroit had, normal. Besides Bozo.
Oh God, that's some bad music.
Yeah.
Sorry, I had to pull it up on YouTube.
Yeah, back in the...
They're on a carousel going...
See? And it's so ingrained, it's like watching it yesterday. Detroit, growing up, we had Oopsie the Clown. Not making it up. And Twin Pines was the main sponsor for the shows back then, so you had Milky the Clown.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and the fun part is I actually got to meet many of the people later on. I used to work for a professional magician, and we used to do a lot of shows. And I actually got to meet a lot of these guys, Soupy Sales and all the other ones that were milestones in Detroit in the era when they were coming up. And it's so cool to meet them face-to-face and be able to talk to them and you know, reminisce over a lot of the stuff. So, yeah. So, for the people that are listening, they're like, don't they talk about geocaching? Cacher Coffee, we get into a little bit of everything, and that's...
Oh, I don't know. Some of these old shows are really useful. People set puzzle caches on around.
Oh, absolutely. Right? Captain Kangaroo, there is so many other things that you could do with that show.
Did anybody watch another dodgy one?
Captain Pugwash.
No, we didn't have Captain Pugwash.
Hey, did either of you guys watch what was the hotel one? It was a hotel. It had the big glob of clay.
I don't remember that one.
The guy used to put eyes and stuff on the clay.
Oh, I seem to remember the one that you're talking. No. Wasn't that Sam? Wasn't that a Captain Kangaroo thing?
It was a hotel. It was Hotel something.
I don't remember.
Come on,
that
nobody
one.
In the chat room over there.
Sanitary on it.
No.
I don't remember. No. See, I remember Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. I remember Sesame Street. I remember... Hold
on. How about Cowboy Bob?
Cowboy Bob. That was out of Channel 9. And then Mr. Dress-Up was another one I remember. There was a lot of them back then.
What was the woman with the thing?
I'm sorry?
What? Come on, the woman with the I see Tony and I see Scott and
Lamb Chop.
No, not Lamb Chop. It was.
We had Lamb Chop slightly.
Yeah,
it was. What the hell was her name? It was the mirror.
I know what you're talking about, and it's back in the back here somewhere.
I'm getting so goddamn old. I'm just losing it, man.
Yep.
I said then Hotel Clay Guy. That wasn't enough.
A Hotel Clay Guy.
1970s TV. Let's try that. Maybe that up it.
See, I grew up with the other stuff. I grew up with the Lone Ranger.
Ross, yeah, you're a little older.
Yeah, so I had all the other good standard one. But Captain Kangaroo was a staple. That was a must-see. Mm-hmm.
Captain Kangaroo?
Oh, yeah.
He just had a real funny haircut. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah, wasn't he? What was it? What was the persona he had before that? The Banana Man or something? I can't remember. Where it was a silent clown.
I got it. Here we go. The Giggle Snort Hotel.
No, I did not see the
Nobody
giggle
start. Remembers the giggle start.
I do not remember the giggle start.
Something, Chad, Google. YouTube the Giggle Snort Hotel. It's got to be up there.
All right.
That was the best. I love that.
So,
roar, 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 roar.
See, everybody had their own thing.
Yeah.
There it
and
is.
We all turned out more or less normal.
I was going to say, if you can get away with itchy and scratchy and all the rest of the stuff that they have these days, as opposed to the stuff that we grew up with, this stuff was wholesome.
Here we go. JD Kind in the chat room says, yes, the Giggle Snort Hotel.
See, yes.
Yeah, the blob guy.
Oh.
It doesn't look familiar at all to me. Sorry.
Really? Nothing?
No, nope, not that one.
No. Seeing it, and it's like, yeah, I would have remembered that.
Yeah. No.
The closest I remember
to the blob back then was the ghoul. Do you remember the ghoul out of Chicago?
No.
Oh, the ghoul was the one that would come out at 11:30 at Saturday night or Friday night and just bring out all the really bad horror movies.
Oh, that was Son of Svengoolie, wasn't it?
I think so.
Was that him? Who did that? The guy with the...
The ghoul was the original, but he had the blob and all the rest of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of stuff, a lot of nostalgia.
You know, there's so much. It's getting to the point where there's so much behind me now. It's like, oh god, I can't remember that stuff.
Yeah, and try to explain to the kids.
I get it now. I get what my dad would be like. I don't remember. I totally get it now.
Yeah,
you know? I was trying to explain to my son the Land of the Lost.
Oh my god, the original.
And how when I was actually like 3 or 4 years old, you know, I was petrified by the.
The those guys, the bad
Slee Stacks.
Oh, the Slee Stacks. Yeah.
And we were going to Merrimack Caverns on a family trip, and I was scared to death to go into the cave because I thought the Slee Stacks were going to get me.
Oh, you know, my god!
This is a 3 or 4 year old kid. Keep in mind, you know. Now I look back. You know, I've seen the shows as an adult, and I'm like. Oh, I was scared.
Are you kidding? Yeah. You know, it's a funny part because out of all the stuff that I've seen, and I've gone through the horror and the sci-fi movies and all the rest of the stuff as a kid, if I have a nightmare, little known fact just to throw at you guys, when I have a nightmare, the stuff that scares me the most are the old black and white stuff, like the crazy doctor, you know, the mad scientist, Frankenstein, the Wolfman. I watched the stuff and ate it up, laughed it, had a great time. But if I have a nightmare, I'm involved in one of those kind of movies. Weird, weird stuff. But yeah, that's what I grew up with. Black and white, man. Frankenstein, the Wolfman, all this stuff. It's awesome stuff. All right, well, we're running a little late, but that's what happens when we start going down nostalgia lane, which we love to do. So we hope you guys enjoyed the show. Excellent talking with you. And if you've got your nostalgia stuff, let us know. Believe me, that's one thing we bring up and love to go over. We should start our own show, just saying. So anyways.
And as I say, hope we've given you some ideas of obscure shows you'd forgotten about to base puzzle caches on.
Yes, base puzzle caches on it, and also scare your kids. Bring up a couple episodes of Uncle Bobby. I'm just saying, and associate it with nowadays, and they'll be terrified. It's awesome. And with Captain Kangaroo and Mr. Moose and the fear of ping pong dropping. Just saying. For the people that remember. All right. Well, good stuff. Hope you enjoyed the show. And I think it's time to wrap this puppy up. Let's do this. Thanks for subscribing to the Geocaching Podcast. Please be sure to join us each and every Wednesday at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time for another episode of the Geocaching Podcast right here on the Geocaching Podcast website at www.geocachingpodcast.com/live. The video version of our show is available on YouTube, and the audio version is available on our home website, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and many of your favorite podcatchers. We love hearing from our viewers and listeners, so please visit us through our social media sites or contact us via our voicemail line at 630-31-VOICE. The Geocaching Podcast is a Head Hard Hat production and is produced by Andy Smith, Scott Burks, Chad Courtney, and Sarah T.S. This show is copyright 2017 by Andrew T. Smith. All rights reserved.